All right, so good to see everybody. See everybody online. Hello, church at home. It's great to be together again. What a great day. Isn't it beautiful? This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. Yes, it's so good. You know, we're 4 for 4 because of God giving us some great weather, so that's pretty awesome. And who'd have thought that it'd be sunny enough and warm enough in Washington that we'd have to bring you some shade? You know, who'd have thought that, right? So we're going to try to get you a little more shade next week. And do that for you. You know, I want to talk with you a little bit about something today that I think we all struggle with. And it's this little thing called worry. Does anyone ever worry? Now, people hate to admit that because they think, you know, I'm less spiritual if I admit that. And that's not true. And I want to talk to you about that today. You know, worry's a funny thing. Worry in my life, I find that worry's not very loyal. You know, worry will change sides and we'll go to the side with the highest pressure. Right? The highest stress. That's where you find our friend called worry, right? And so, like, for example, in my life, a couple of weeks ago, we put our house on the market and we decided we were going to sell our house and move into our rental and fix up our rental. And so we put it on the market and immediately I began to worry about whether my house would sell. Anybody ever been there? Worry about whether the house will sell. So we got an offer within 2 weeks and then I began to worry about moving. Right? Now what? What are we going to do? We're going to move into an unfinished house and all that. But it just makes the point that worry kind of changes and goes with whatever seems to be providing the most pressure in our life at the time. And I'm telling you, and you know this is true, we live in a highly pressurized life right now, don't we? Like our lives have gone from 0 to 100 as far as pressure goes just because of the things that have been happening in our world and in our community. So it's been difficult for a lot of people. And I want to remind you today, and if you don't take anything else home with you, remember this, that Jesus cares about your anxiety. Jesus cares about the fact that you have concerns. And Jesus cares about the fact that you battle worry, like I do. This morning I got up, and I was up about 3:30 this morning, and because I just felt some cares of the world. And so I got up and I went to my Bible and I opened up my Bible to the Psalm of the day, which I post online every day. And the Psalm today was absolutely perfect. And I thought, I've got to read this to you because this is what I opened up to you today for this message on worry. Psalm 31:7 says, I will be glad and rejoice in your unfailing love, for you have seen my troubles. And you care about the anguish of my soul. That's what God saw fit for me to read today. Isn't that awesome? And I thought, I got to pass that along to you guys. And then it was funny, too, because I woke up with a hymn in my head. And I often do that because I was raised on the hymns. Anybody else raised on the hymns? And so oftentimes I'll wake up in the morning with a song in my head or a hymn in my head. And I'll just start to, like, I don't want to wake up my wife, but I'll start to kind of sing it in my head. And this morning, it was the old hymn called No Not One. Do you remember that song, that old hymn? No Not One. And the line that was over and over in my head says, Jesus knows all about my struggles. And I think about Jordan and her testimony this morning and her baptism and how God met her in the midst of some of the most anxious times of her life. And that doesn't mean that all that anxiety goes away, but it means that Jesus knows. And he sees us as we struggle with anxiety and concerns in our life. And God meets us there. And that's the cool thing. One of the many cool things about walking with Christ is that he meets us in those places of concern and worry that we have. He's not just the Savior for eternity, although that's the most important thing, right? He's also the Savior for the here and now. And he walks with us through this life. So Jesus knows. I want you to get this today. Jesus knows that struggle and worry are a part of life. It's a part of being human. It's the same muscle that we use to trust him with is the same muscle that we worry with. It's the same muscle. And so the emotional muscle that causes us to worry is also the emotional muscle that we apply to trusting Jesus. And Jesus himself struggled with some concerns in life. You remember back in the garden, just before he went to the cross, and Jesus was contemplating taking on the sin of the world, if you can imagine what that would be like. You think you were looking forward to a bad day? Imagine Jesus looking forward to the cross and dying the horrible death that he would die, but also knowing he was going to take on the sin of the whole world, your sin, my sin. He was going to take that on himself. And so he felt this pressure. And Luke tells us in chapter 22 that in the garden, Jesus was in agony of spirit. That's what Luke says. Agony of spirit. He was feeling the pressure. And let me tell you, he was tempted to worry. He was. He was tempted to worry. But what did he do? Luke tells us he prayed fervently and he cried out to his Father. And I believe that's exactly what Jesus wants you and wants me to do with our worry. It's not like we're not going to have worry. We are. But Jesus wants us to pray fervently and to cry out to our Father when we find ourselves worrying. So here's what I believe today about worry. I think we're all going to worry. We're all going to worry. It's one of our best friends. We spend the most time with him, don't we? With this friend called worry. Not really a friend. But God wants us, like Jesus, to turn to him, to bring our anxieties and our worries to him, and to battle the worry that we're tempted to have. Now, let me tell you something a little bit from my own life. I'm going to be honest with you, as I usually am, right? But to be honest with you, I wake up most mornings with the pressure of worry, of the pressure of concerns and of things I think about regarding the church, regarding my family, regarding, ministry, what we do here, and my friends around the world that are starving. I mean, I wake up with this tremendous pressure, and it's like a boxcar, like a railroad car has arrived, and overnight gets loaded up with pressure, and then in the morning, the doors open, and I have to sift through all the things that have arrived during the night. I didn't invite this to roll into my soul, did I? I didn't invite it. I'm not sinning by the fact that it showed up. But what it means that I do is that the first thing I do before I even roll out of bed, and I've told you this, I lay and pray. I lay and pray. I just lay there and I start to sort through the biggies and I begin to commit them to the Lord and I begin to bring them to him in prayer. And I confess, even before I get out of bed, I confess my concerns and my worries for the day to God. And I remind my soul, like David did, that God is large and God is in charge. And he can handle the concerns of my day. And after I've done that adequately, it might take a half hour. You know, this morning I woke up at 3, got up at 3:30, okay? So it might take a half hour, and I'll get up. And then I make the choice to shrink my worry even more through worship. I spend some time worshiping the Lord. Sometimes I sit in the hot tub. I did this morning. I watched the morning star right over there. It was amazing. And I sit there and I'll worship the Lord and I'll worship worry away. Did you know that you can worship worry away? Really, what worship is making God big in our minds, in our hearts. Like, we don't have to make him bigger, but in our minds we do. We have to remind ourselves how big God is, how capable he is. And so I worship worry away because worship makes God bigger in my mind. And then I word worry away. You know what I mean by that? I get out my trusty Bible, my sword of the Spirit, right? The Word of God. And I open it up and I begin to read the Word. And as I read the Word, like I read Psalm 31 this morning, it begins to erode away the worry, the concerns that I have. And now I become even more equipped and strong, not in my own strength, but in the strength of remembering how big and capable my God is. Now, if I don't do this, I will get so distracted by worries and by concerns of life that I won't have much to offer. I'll live in what I call the scarcity mentality. You know, worry just takes away our ability to give ourselves to the kingdom, to give ourselves to the people that we love. And so we have to battle worry so that we have something that we can give. God fills us with his strength and we have something to give. You know, Jesus modeled this for us, didn't he? Jesus gave himself away in the most stressful moment ever known to man. He chose to give himself away. And we have an amazingly abundant and generous God who wants to build the kingdom through us. Now, don't ask me why God decided to build the kingdom through us. It seems kind of strange, doesn't it? When you think about yourself, when I think about myself, I think, God, you could have had a better plan than that, right? I fail, I fall, I give way to worry. But no, God decided to build the kingdom through us. Jesus brought the kingdom. The Holy Spirit came. The kingdom is here. Now God wants to build it through us. And he has all the grace we need. His mercy is new every morning for you. Why would that be important? So that you can face the challenges, the conflicts, the worries of the day. So number one in your notes today is simply, don't worry. Don't worry. We're in Luke chapter 12 this morning. If you brought your Bible, if you got your Bible at home there with you, maybe it's on your phone like mine, turn open to Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 22. We're going to read what Jesus had to say about worry. Then we're going to take out a few of his key points and talk about what worry looks like in our lives. So here's Jesus talking to us about worry. Jesus said, "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to eat or enough clothes to wear. For life is more than food, and your body is more than clothing." Although I'm glad you all wore clothing this morning. That would have been distracting. "Look at the ravens. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for God feeds them. And you're far more valuable to him than any birds." Would you take a moment and just say, "God, thank you that I mean more to you than a bird." Come on, just say it out loud. "I mean more than a bird to you, God. It's great." Verse 25, "Can all your worries add a single moment to your life?" Did you hear that crow? Didn't like that, that I said that. "And if worry can't accomplish a little thing like that, what's the use of worrying over bigger things? Look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work. They don't make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? And don't be concerned about what to eat and what to drink. Don't worry about such things. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world. But your Father already knows your needs. So seek the kingdom of God above all else." There's a key for us today. We're going to talk about that. "Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. So don't be afraid, little flock." Here's our little flock today, right? "Don't be afraid, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom." God loves to give us the kingdom. God loves to partner with us in building the kingdom. In fact, that's what God wants the focus of our life to be, is to be building the kingdom with him. And worry robs us of that. Worry robs us of God's best for us. Worry robs us of being able to love well in the moment. Worry robs us of being able to risk our life to build the kingdom with God. Worry is what robs us, keeps us from risking for the kingdom, from doing the right thing. So let's pull out five things from this text that we just read. The first one is this. Jesus said, "Do not worry about everyday life." That's a command. Do not worry about everyday life. Why is it crazy to worry about everyday life? Because we really don't have much control. I mean, look at where our lives have ended up in the last 4 months. Do you really think we have control over our lives? Not a lot, right? Our lives end up in different places because things happen. Just when you think you have control, the stock market crashes or, you know, a virus comes. And it's just crazy that we think we have control. And I'm not suggesting we don't work at our life and we don't do the things we can do. You know, we go to jobs, we bring home the bacon. I get all that. We need to be responsible. But at the end of the day, really, worrying about our life doesn't make a lot of sense because we don't have a lot of control. It'd be much better to use that emotional energy to trust in God, to press in to him. Paul said it like this. Paul said, you know, we can learn to flourish in every circumstance. Listen to what he said in Philippians 4. He said, "I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need." Paul's saying, I can get along fine with God's help, whether I'm hungry or whether I'm full. "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." And then skipping to verse 19, "My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." You know, those of you who have maybe been around church a long time, you know that God has some names in Hebrew that describe his character and who he is. And one of them is Jehovah Yireh, or Jehovah Jireh is what people like to say. And it simply means God is my provider. That was one of the names that God took for himself. I'm your provider. And we place our trust in Jesus. We place our trust in his supply chain. I was thinking about this the other day. You know, Jesus' supply train has been alive and well for thousands of years. People have made it through some pretty hard times by trusting in Jesus. You only have to go back one generation. My mom and dad, they grew up in the Depression. They made it through the Depression in Iowa. And then they moved up here. They made it through World War II. My dad fought in World War II. They made it through a couple of other wars. They made it through the 60s. Let me see. Anybody? Gary, I know. Were you alive in the 60s? Anybody damaged in the 60s? Let me see. So, you know, God has this history of getting us through difficult times. Here you are today. So why do we lose heart and why do we doubt that God can also get us through a virus and get us through some of the changing times that we're watching today? Why do we doubt when he has proven himself over and over and over? So worry causes us to question God. But God's given us one another to help each other. You know, the church is alive today because, you know, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, right? If we believe in Christ, we're made into this thing called the church. And we're going to be in heaven forever. But we also have a purpose here. And our purpose here is to help one another when we run into hard times. If somebody can't pay a bill, somebody pays it for them, or a bunch of people pay it for them. You know, if somebody finds himself without a place to stay, somebody has a room for them, or somebody has an open apartment, or somebody has a place that they can stay. That's the church working together. That is what we're meant to do. There's always someone that says, I can help. That's why small group, Steve talked about it a minute ago, that's why small group's so important, because we know each other and we're aware of somebody's needs. And so we can help when the time is there. You know, the second thing about worry that I want to mention this morning is that worry can't add a single moment to your life. Have you figured that out? Worry cannot add a single moment to your life. There's a famous financier named Ziad Abdelnour. Some of you may have heard of him. He's famous, works in the world of business and finance, a lot of loans and things like that. And he says this, you've heard this quote probably, worry is a down payment on a problem you may never have. It doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrow, it just empties today of its strength. That's what worry truly does for us. It doesn't add a single moment to our life, and in fact, it robs us of the strength for the moments that we have today. You know, to battle this, our faith must not be in ourselves and being able to do better, but our faith must be in Christ and his ability to do better in us. I'm a counselor, and so I do counsel people from time to time. And one of the things I have found is true about us as people is that we like to awfulize our problems. Anybody aware of that term? So we have a problem, and then we think about it and we stew about it, like my mom used to say. And a molehill becomes a mountain, and we awfulize it to the point where it becomes so awful. Just the thought of it might happening, it becomes so awful that it just becomes this huge worry thing in our mind. We do this to ourselves. We awfulize things that may never happen in our life. And we rob ourselves of the strength and the courage that God wants us to use to build his kingdom and to love those people that he's given us to love. Let me give you an example of this. Like, this is something I went through in this house selling project, okay? So here was the first what if. I like to call it the what if game. What if I can't sell my house? Well, I'll get a loan. Okay, I can fix that. What if I can't get a loan? Well, I won't do the project, the house build, okay, the remodel. I won't do it. Well, what if I lose my house? Well, that would be bad, but I won't die. No, but what if I die? Like that's the biggest what if, right? What if I die? And my answer for that, if I'm a follower of Christ, my answer for that is, well, I have Jesus. I have heaven to look forward to. And are we really looking forward to heaven as much as we say we are? If we are, then this world and our stuff and our life should really lose a bit of its appeal. Right? And the older I get, the more it loses its appeal. I'll be honest, except for my grandbaby. The older I get, it loses its appeal, and I look forward more and more to the adventure of heaven. Like, what's it going to be like, you know? I look forward to that. And if heaven is really as good as we say it is, then we shouldn't be able to awfulize our life as much as we have. We should change. We should grow. And a lot of this has to do with what we believe about God. When you're playing the what-if game, what you believe about God is what matters. And here's the three things that I think are important to believe about God. Number one, God is sovereign. So because I'm His child, God allows things in my life that He allows. And I don't need to question that. I believe that He's sovereign in my life. You know, the rest of the world has to ask questions all the time about why. I don't. God allowed it. So even if it's hard, He's sovereign. The secondly is the question, is God good? Is God good? If I can answer that question in the depths of my soul, then I can face anything believing that God has my best interest in mind. And if that's the case, I can go through anything. Amen. And the third question is, does God love me? Does God love me? Like I said a minute ago, I believe I'm His child. And in Christ, you're His children. And if you're His child, if you're a parent, you know that you can have the worst teenager in the world. You still love them. You may not like them. You may want to throttle them. But you still love them. You want what's best for them, right? Is that true? I know. I'm a father, and I want what's best for my children. I do. And so the question to answer in the depths of our soul is, does God love me? And if you can settle those three questions, you can face anything. And you don't have to awfulize anything. That's a beautiful way to get through the troubles of life. The next thing that Jesus said about worry, He said, worry is a little faith issue. Now, He said it. I'm sorry. So worry is connected to our faith. And you can't get away from that. The more we worry, the more we give in to worry, it reveals that we have a lack of trust. Now, again, I want to say to you clearly, it doesn't mean we don't battle. We're going to battle worry. I wake up every morning, I do battle with worry. But the question is whether we let worry rule in our life, right? That's the question. Jesus said, why do you have so little faith? Jesus is not saying that worry is not going to come knocking. So don't beat yourself up about that. Jesus had to deal with that Himself. He's not saying it's not going to come knocking, but He's saying when it does, God is bigger and better than worry. God is bigger and better than worry. We're going to battle worry every day. I believe that. And I think that, honestly, I think that the more you're involved in the kingdom, the more pressure you're going to have in your life. Because you've got an enemy of your soul that's going to do battle against you as well. Okay? So it just adds problems to the problems. And we're going to battle worry every day. And battling is not the sin. But what battling does, battling makes room for a bigger God. When I do battle in the morning before my day, I'm making room for a bigger God. Again, it doesn't change how big God is. It changes how much room I make for His bigness, His capability, His power, His grace in my life. So I need to battle worry to make room for the bigger God, make room for His mercy that is new every morning to meet us in that place of worry and concern. How do you do this? How do you do this? I'll tell you again how I do it. I do it through prayer. I do it through worshiping Him. And I do it through His Word. In fact, the Word of God says in Romans 10:17, and I like that, October 17, that's my birthday. That's how I remember this verse. Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of God, or the Word of Christ. So it's the Word of God that builds faith in our life. It's the words of Christ that supersede the worry and the concern and the troubles of life. If you're not feeding on the Word, you're probably more likely to give way to worry in your life. So I appeal to you to overcome worry through the Word. The Word overcomes worry. Our faith also becomes stronger, like I said, through worship. Romans 12:1-2, you know this. Paul said, I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. That means commit your body, commit your life to building the kingdom. That's what that means. Then he says, don't be conformed to this world. Don't worry like this world does. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, believing that you have a bigger God than the troubles of this world, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God for you. So I believe that our minds are renewed as we pay attention to God, as we give Him room in our life, as we listen to some great worship music, you know, on our earbuds, or as we apply the Word of God to our life, as we spend time in passionate prayer. I'm not talking about slack prayer, lackadaisical prayer. I'm talking about passionate prayer, like Jesus, fervently praying because you got nowhere else to go. That's what I'm talking about. So our minds are renewed when we consecrate ourselves to God and His purposes. This is what sets us apart from the world. So one more thing. Jesus says that worry dominates the thoughts of unbelievers. So He uses worry to set us apart from the rest of the world. He says you shouldn't be like the rest of the world. Again, you're going to battle it, but you shouldn't give into it. You shouldn't let it rule like the rest of the world does. Jesus said, not worrying sets us apart from the world. How many of you know the world worries? You read the news? It's not the news. It's the news plus everybody's worries. That's what it is. And the world makes decisions based on worry. And again, we worry, or we battle worry, but the big difference is we don't let worry rack us. We don't let worry wreck us. We don't let worry rule us. Why? Because we have a God that's bigger than the concerns of the world. A God that's sovereign. A God that says, I told you the end of the story. Okay? I told you the end of the story. Take heart. I've overcome the world. Let me play this out again for you. We fight fear with faith. And ultimately, for me anyway, and I hope this is true with you, ultimately we don't worry because we don't fear death. I mentioned this earlier. Death, right? That's the big worry. So we don't fear death. And because we don't fear death, we don't fear disease. Christians should not fear as much as the rest of the world when it comes to a virus. Should we be careful? Of course. Should we take precautions? Of course. Why? Because we love. We love. That's why. Social distancing. Why are we out in the parking lot instead of in the building? Because it's nice and sunny. It's wonderful. I love it. Let's do this every year. But no, really, it's because we don't fear death, so we don't fear disease like the rest of the world. It doesn't mean we're not concerned. I don't want to catch cancer. Of course I don't. You know? But I don't let it wreck me. And because we don't fear disease, we don't fear loss like the rest of the world does. We'll be concerned, of course, but we're not going to let it rule us. And because we don't fear loss, we can give our lives for the kingdom of God like God wants us to. We can lay down our lives following the model of Jesus, facing the worst pressure ever known to man. He lays down His life. And this is the solution to worry. And I want to give it to you now. Verse 31, Jesus said, here's the solution to your worry. He said, seek the kingdom of God above all else, and I will give you everything you need. In other words, seeking the kingdom of God changes our focus. When you seek the kingdom of God, when you're looking at what God is building, you're looking beyond your own life, beyond your own stuff, beyond even your own health. And you're laying it out for the kingdom of God every day. And this can be in little ways. This is like, you know, sharing the love of Christ with somebody. This is helping somebody when they have a need, doing it because you love Jesus. This is, you know, loving your parents, loving your kids, you know, kids loving your parents. I mean, this can be anything. Building the kingdom can be anything, as long as it's about what God wants. You see, the reason that we worry is because we're focused on the wrong thing. We worry because we're focused on our stuff. We're focused on our lives. We're focused on our own health instead of being focused on what Jesus says to focus on, and that's the kingdom of God. So we then worry about loss because we don't want to lose our stuff. We worked hard to get our stuff. We don't want to lose it, right? I don't want to lose my house. I don't want to lose my stuff. But yet, if that's the focus, we're going to miss what God wants to do with the kingdom, because God said, in Romans 14, 17, through Paul, he said the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's not the stuff. How many of you like to eat and drink? I love it. I love good food. I'm a foodie. That's why I travel, because I love to try new food, right? But Paul says the kingdom of God is not about that. The kingdom of God is about righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. You know, Jordan shared earlier about struggling with anxiety. So when I was getting ready to baptize her, I just prayed for her that she would be filled and understand the depths of the joy of the Holy Spirit in her soul so that she could do battle against that anxiety, right? Do battle against that worry. That she would know how loved and precious she is by God. That's what I was praying for her. And she would know that she's His child and that He loves her deeply and dearly, you know? That's what we need to focus on. And we can come down to this term, number two in your notes today, simply be happy. Be happy that you have a Heavenly Father who loves you, has prepared a way for you, that you have a Savior that saved you, that you have a Holy Spirit who has filled you, and that you're not like the rest of the world. Be happy about that. I mean, Jesus could have written the song, "Don't Worry, Be Happy." He had the hair for it, I think, probably, you know? He could have written the song. Because then ultimately that's what he's saying here. Don't worry, be happy. So let's close by talking about just for a few minutes where happiness comes from. I believe that happiness comes from investing in the right things. Having the focus in the right things. Not making life all about me. Now, I still can do that. I still can make life about me. But doing things for the right purposes. I told you that we're going to remodel the farmhouse. And the driving force behind this decision, which my wife and I were both like really emotional about leaving the house that we're in because our first grandchild was born in that house. You know, we've had both our son and daughter living in that house. We've had some great times together as a family. We're both very emotional about leaving that house, which we built. And why would we do that? Why would we live in the mess of remodeling? Well, here's why. This is the driving force. Gwen has a mother and father who are getting elderly, and she wants to take care of them as they get old. And so we're going to build a detached mother-in-law suite behind the farmhouse. They're going to move into that, and my wife is going to get to care for her parents. That's the driving force of this decision. If we didn't have that part of it, we probably, honestly, wouldn't do it. But that's what she wants to do because she wants to honor and love and give back to her mom and dad. I'm not saying everybody should do that. Some people can't do that. I couldn't do that for my parents. But she wants to do that for her parents. So in other words, do things for the right reasons. That's what it means to live in the kingdom. So happiness comes from investing in the right things. And Jesus was pretty radical when he told his disciples to do this. Verse 33, he said, and this is how we know, by the way, that Jesus likes yard sales. So here it is right here. Sell your possessions. Have a yard sale. And give it to those in need. Now that's the difference, right? We usually keep it for ourselves. Jesus says, have a yard sale and give it to those in need. This will store up treasure for you in heaven. Sell your stuff and give it to people who have needs. And the purses of heaven never get old or develop holes. Your treasure will be safe. No thief can steal it and no moth can destroy it. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Let's unpack this just for a minute as we close today. Like I mentioned, we're moving again. I have 36 years worth of stuff that I've accumulated. Anybody else ever done that crazy thing? Like, why don't we just purge and get rid of it all? So I was in my tool shed the other day, and there at the back of the tool shed is laying my little 7.5 Mercury motor that I've had for 37 years, bought it before we got married. I have hauled that thing around for 37 years. It doesn't run. It doesn't even work. And I saw it back there and I thought, not today. I thought, okay, my little friend, I'm never going to move you again. This is it. We're done. We're parting ways. And so I took that motor and I threw it in my car and I took it out. Well, actually, I put it on Facebook and Troy Lancaster, who's got the motor repair shop on Birch Bay Lennon Road, Facebooked right away and said, hey, I'll take it. So my wife and I load it up in the car and we take it out to Troy's and meet him out in the yard and he takes it. And he looks at me and he says, I'm going to fix this motor and then I'm going to give the money from the sale back to the missions of the church. And I thought, what a great, I didn't ask him to do that. I thought, what a great, yeah, thank you. I thought, what a great thing, right? This motor has outlived its usefulness for me. I don't want to move it anymore. And here's a guy that says, I'm going to redeem it. We're all like that motor, aren't we? I'm going to redeem it. I'm going to take that old motor. I'm going to make it work. And then I'm going to give the money away to people that need it worse than I do around the world. Pretty awesome. And that's what generosity does for us. Generosity stores up treasure in heaven. I like to say you cannot lose what for love you choose. You cannot lose what for love you choose. And Jesus modeled this for us. In John 10, he said, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes my life from me. You know, a lot of people think Jesus went out and got killed. No, Jesus laid his life down intentionally for us. And he says, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to pick it up again. Jesus chose to lay down his life for us. And so if you want to be like Jesus, you embrace a lifestyle that says, I'm going to lay down my life for the kingdom, for what I can contribute, whatever that is, we're all different, for what I can contribute to building the kingdom. I'm going to lay down my life. And Jesus chose to do that, and it can't be taken from him, and it can't be taken from us. And one of the reasons we can be happy about being in the kingdom and serving in the kingdom is that the treasure you store up in heaven is 100% insured. It's better than FDIC. It's better than any insurance, health insurance that you can have. The insurance of heaven is foolproof. Cannot be taken away from you. So how can you lay up treasure in heaven? Let me give you some practical things. I mentioned some already. When you worship the Lord, just being here this morning, choosing to be out in the hot sun and giving it up for Jesus, when you choose to worship Jesus, Jesus sees you. And Jesus receives that worship to himself. And there's treasure in heaven because of your worship. Now, that's not why you do it. You're just responding to his love. But there's treasure because you do it. When you pray, like we had 150 people in the parking lot on Tuesday praying and worshiping for our community and for our nation. How many of you know we need prayer, right? Our nation's a mess. We need prayer. And so a bunch of people gathered, and what they did that night, I believe, is treasure in heaven for them. They've contributed to the kingdom. When you give anything of your time or your talent or your treasure to love God and to love people, you're laying up treasure in heaven where it can't be taken, it can't be stolen, it can't be corrupted. Nobody can steal it from you. So how do you store up treasure in heaven? You invest in the kingdom. You trust Jesus with your life. That's the first step. You trust him with your life, you get baptized, and then you begin to live in a way to make a difference for the kingdom. And I want to say as I close today, anything that you do in the name of Jesus, anything you do for him, anything you do to bring glory to him, to build his kingdom, to love God and love others, Jesus said, that's your treasure. And he said, where your treasure is, the desires of your heart will be. In other words, you'll desire more and more and more and more to be about the kingdom and to be about doing what Jesus has called you to do. When you treasure is the kingdom, your heart is with your treasure, and your generous heart will be happy. Would you stand with me today? Worship team, I'm going to invite you to come. I want to pray for you before we worship in this last song. Just one more song. And I want to pray for you today for two things, okay? Two things. We all wrestle with fear. You don't have to feel guilty about that. We all wrestle with worry. Don't have to feel guilty about that. But you want to become a person that does battle so that you can rise above that with God's power, right? So if that's you today and you want to rise above, you want to step into more kingdom living, more focus on his kingdom and less on your own life and stuff and health, then let me pray that for you today. And the other one is this. It's what I prayed over Jordan in the baptismal this morning, and that is that you would know deeper than anything else in your life that you're his child. That you're his child. Jesus did what he did for you to become his child. And if that's new to you today and you've never received him, I'm going to pray with you to receive him, receive his grace, receive his forgiveness for your life, for your sin. Let him make you his child. So let's pray those two things this morning. Lord God, as we come before you, I know that all of us struggle with this thing called worry, and all of us can grow in our battle of it. So God, I pray over my friends this morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, that you would help them to battle hard. Help them to take initiative. Help them to do what they can do. To invest what you've given us to invest in our own souls, your word and worship, prayer. God, that we would do battle against this thing we call worry, so that it would not rule us and it would not rack us. And we thank you for that ability you've given us, Lord. And Lord Jesus, I want to lift up anyone here today that just wants to be convinced in their heart of hearts that they're a child of the Father. They don't have to fear anymore. And anyone that wants to receive his love in Christ today, just pray with me right now. Lord Jesus, I understand today, maybe for the first time, that I'm a sinner. I've done some things that are wrong. I may even be living in sin right now. And I know that I need forgiveness. I know I can't cleanse myself from sin. And I've heard, Jesus, that you went to the cross and you rose from the dead so that I could be forgiven of my sin. So I could be made right with God. So that I could have an eternal home in heaven with him. So Lord Jesus, I receive you today. I receive you into my heart. I ask you to forgive my sin. I ask you to make me right with God. And I thank you that your word says that if I simply believe in you, simply believe and place my faith in your provision, in your grace, I will be saved. So I receive that today, and I revel in the fact that I'm a child of the Most High God. Family, let's worship God as our Heavenly Father today.